Well, ladies, today we are in our final lesson of the book of Jonah, lesson 9, and we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. I've titled this lesson, Not What We Deserve. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant, for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? And also much cattle?" So we find Jonah where we left him yesterday, pouting. He made himself a shelter where he can sit and watch Nineveh, hoping still that it will be destroyed. And there he sits, waiting until he should see what would become of the city. I wonder if he was planning to sit there until the 40 days were up to see if God would indeed destroy them in 40 days or not. Regardless of his long-term plans there, Jonah sits like a sulky 5-year-old who didn't get his own way. I love what God does here. I absolutely think this is one of the most profound ways to show Jonah, and me, exactly what was really going on here. God provides for Jonah a leafy plant that grows up over the shelter Jonah has built, probably little more than a lean-to and apparently not enough to truly block the heat. And God blesses Jonah with comfort and ease. Jonah was very happy about that plant. Remember, he thought it was very wrong that God would spare Nineveh, and he got angry about that, but he is happy over a plant. It is interesting to note, too, that the same word used here was used to describe the arrival of the fish into the sea. God provided or appointed the plant just as he did the fish. Perhaps, again, this is a special plant created only for this lesson for Jonah. I always wonder what was going on in Jonah's head at this point. Was he thinking, "See there? God knows I'm right. He even gave me this shade to sit in to bless me, and perhaps to apologize to me, so now I can sit here and watch in comfort while he does what he ought to do, destroy Nineveh." I do picture Jonah as very self-righteous at this point, like certain little boys I have met who think that throwing a fit will help them to get what they want. Ah, but at dawn the next day, God provided, again, he provided. This is what was needed. This is part of God's provision. He provided a worm to eat the plant. And again, this is the same word used to describe the fish and the plant growing. This may indeed have been a very special bug who crawled up and ate the plant, provided by God at this moment for this purpose. And the result? Bye-bye, shade! And when the sun rose that day, it rose with scorching heat, and God also provided, again, God provided it, an east wind that also took its toll on Jonah's physical health. Well, of course Jonah's fit flares up again. He's angry. Seriously angry. Super mad. He's so angry he wishes he was dead. Over a plant. Really? Now here comes the perspective part, that view from on high part. I love God's question to Jonah. Do you have any right to be angry about this plant? And Jonah, full of fire and anger, hollers right back, "Oh, yes, I do have a right to be angry about this." Oh, Jonah, Jonah. Jonah put forth no effort, contributing nothing of value to the creation and destruction of the plant, except his temper tantrum that made it necessary. How can he be so mad about the withering of a plant, so full of righteous indignation over something that he had no part in planting or growing, a plant that was miraculously grown for one day and gave him undeserved shade for one day? And yet he held no remorse, no grief, for the 120,000 people who would have been wiped off the earth if they hadn't repented. How can he sit there and actually wish for their deaths, yet be so grieved by the death of a 24-hour plant that he wants to die? And yet, we are the same as Jonah. We contribute nothing to our salvation except the sin that makes it necessary. Yet we can so easily get caught up in this self-righteous trap, just like Jonah did. We boast in our own goodness, behaving as if God is lucky to have us because we're so awesome, when the truth is, we all rely 100% on God's grace for our salvation, because even our very best deeds are as filthy rags to God. Today, as I read this, I cannot help but think about the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. I'm going to read those verses today, so bear with me. It's in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He is lost and is found.'" Do you see Jonah and the older son? The son who had access to the father and all the blessings of the father, yet resented sharing those blessings with his brother. He, like Jonah, throws a temper tantrum, pointing out all the ways that he was good and thus deserves better treatment than this wayward son. And that wayward son reminds me of Nineveh. It took Jonah's message for the people of Nineveh to realize their need to repent, but when they came to their senses, they did repent, just as the wayward son did. And the wayward son found mercy, just as Nineveh did. Jonah's book ends abruptly, very abruptly. But you know what? I used to always think that this was because Jonah was such a stinker that his story ends here and he never repents, but I've rethought that. I don't think that Jonah stayed in the bitterness. Jonah was a bitter, jealous guy. He was jealous of God's affection and attention, and he wanted that all to himself. Well, to keep it for Israel, anyway. He was letting that bitterness get in the way of his relationship with God and his compassion for others. But I don't think that this is where Jonah ended up. The fact that Jonah's book ends so abruptly, that Jonah obviously had to come down from the hill and write the book of Jonah, gives me hope that Jonah had that moment where he realized how backward his thinking was as he mourned a plant and waited with gleeful anticipation for the deaths of 120,000 people. Ladies, as Christians, we are called to realize a few things. First, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, it tells us flat out, we're not saved by our own works or merit. That passage says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." We have absolutely nothing to boast about. He saved us for his glory and his purpose, so we would do the work that he prepared for us. It is all about him and bringing him glory, ladies. Secondly, what we have earned is eternal punishment in hell. Your sin has separated you so far from God that justice is for you to be eternally in hell. But God offers mercy, not just justice. No one will ever receive injustice from God, ladies. Either you will receive mercy, or you will receive justice for your sins. Romans 6:23 says it clearly. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Third, we're called to a standard so different from what the world accepts that it is truly radical. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." And then Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do you see the difference? We are called not just to ignore our enemies, but to pray for them, not to repay evil with evil. We are called to preach the gospel in season and out of season, and our greatest desire should be that all should know him and come to repentance. Even our greatest enemy. When we realize how much we truly have been forgiven of, we don't begrudge that forgiveness to others. We pray for them earnestly that they might know that forgiveness as well. So my questions for us today, ladies, are these. Are you, like Jonah, holding on to the blessings you have been shown and refusing to share them with anyone else? Are you jealous when God blesses someone else? Are you angry? Do you desire vengeance on your enemies more than you desire their repentance and reconciliation with God? Do you understand how much you have been forgiven of? And are you grateful, or do you take that for granted? Do you pray for your enemies, or do you just hope they'll go away? Do you pray for their salvation, or do you pray for their removal? Are you, like Jonah and the older brother, resentful when God extends mercy to those who have hurt you? Ladies, learn from Jonah. Ask God to fill your heart with compassion for the lost world around you. Ask him to help you to obey when he first directs you, not after you've been thrown into the sea. Ask him to help you to be grateful for the salvation extended to you, and to have that gratitude permeate your whole life as you extend grace to others. And thank him when he does demonstrate his patience with you too, as he continues to sanctify you every single day. Remember, he is the one who began the good work in you, and he will complete it. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, lesson 9, Not What We Deserve.